Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. We're hoping that the sun shines and Felipe gets lost because none of us want him anymore. Did enough damage last night. But we're going to have a phenomenal show because one of my favorite people in the whole world is here, Carlin Eggers, and Thief's Mark is a phenomenal book. And we're going to talk about a murder in a quiet English village, long buried secrets, and a man's search for answers, about his traumatic past entangled FBI agents. I love these two characters. Emma Sharp and Colin Donovan in the latest Edge of Your Seat, Sharp and Donovan. And we've got Carlin Eggers here. Hi, I'm so glad you're here. And I miss you.
Well, I am glad to be here, too. Wild night with these storms, I'll tell you.
Oh, God, you couldn't even see outside. And we were out yesterday just when the rain poured on my head. And I was lucky I had my jacket because I just had my hair done. This, you know, definitely no-no.
Isn't that the way it is, you know? But,
yeah.
It was a howling, windy night here. I'm in on my hilltop in Vermont, but most of the leaves are down where I am, so we didn't have that problem.
Well, I don't know what's happening outside. All I know is that they said it's going away, the sun is coming out, but they think they lied. It looks like we're getting more. But anyway, I think since Emma and Colin are the main characters, they're going to have their own storm right now, anyway.
There you go.
They have been the main characters of your mystery series. So could you give everybody a background on how they met and why she decided not to become a nun? Well, I don't blame her. He's gorgeous.
Oh, sure. So Emma Sharp and Colin Donovan are two FBI agents, and she specializes in art crimes, and he's done deep cover work. And in Saints Gate, which is the very first book in this series, Thief's Mark, you know, it's further into the series, but you can dive in at any time. Anyway, they meet in Saints Gate when Emma goes to her former convent. She was a novice at this convent, and they do art conservation and art history, and that was her thing. And she has this complicated family, and she just kind of got into it, but she's been out, and she for a few years, and she's become an FBI agent at this point. But a former nun is murdered, and Colin has just come back from a undercover mission and is at home in Maine. And it turns out that they grew up just a few miles from each other, but very different worlds from each other on the Maine coast. Because Emma's background is in art recovery, art history. Her grandfather is a world-renowned private art detective. He's based in Dublin now, but he started out in the front room of his little house on the Maine coast. And Colin is one of four brothers, the Donovan brothers, and they're lobstermen and police officers. And so they're very different worlds, and he comes from this little fishing village. And they meet about this over the death of this nun and what Emma's involvement is. And that's a whole, you know, that's a whole novel. But that's how they meet, and they're attracted to each other. And now by, you know, fast forward to Thief's Mark, they're actually wrapping up their honeymoon.
I know, and it gets ruined. But I have to be honest, my favorite character is Wendell.
Oh, you love this is Wendell something? Wendell Sharp is Emma's grandfather, and he's in his early 80s, and you know, I think it's in Saints Gate that it might be the next book, Heron's Cove, where he just takes off and to the west coast of Ireland and goes on his, you know, his long walks and just kind of, he just does his thing. And he keeps saying he's retired or semi-retired, but he keeps getting involved in things. And that's what happens in Thief's Mark, which opens with Emma and Colin on the last day of their honeymoon. And they've been in Ireland, and they've had this wonderful time, and they know their lives are complicated. Things happen to them, and one of the reasons is Wendell. And then they show up, and they're supposed to spend the night at his little house in Dublin, and he sets them up at an expensive hotel. If you know Dublin, it's the Shelburne on St. Stephen's Green, and they're meeting for a drink, and they're like, okay, what's up? Why are you doing this? And, of course, he's hiding something.
Well, we know he's hiding something. He doesn't want to tell them what really happened.
That's right. Because it's their honeymoon, and he doesn't want.
Yeah.
And he has ideas about what happens, and he doesn't necessarily always want to involve the Irish police, and so he tries not to tell him, but they get it out of him that his house was broken into, and there's something that leads them to think that, okay, Oliver York, this international art thief that they'll, yeah, oh, I love Oliver. So, you know, this charming, wily English art thief, but with a very tragic past. And so Emma and Colin, it's like, okay, something's up here. And they were on their way to England to do reentry back into their jobs. I don't know, you know, if you ever take a vacation anymore, but sometimes you take a few days off and you just need, you know, you go, okay, I'm back at work. And so they're in that mode of getting back into things and going to England. So they're going to go see Oliver and find out if he knows anything about this break-in at Wendell's place in Dublin.
All I know is that every time I tell one of the publicists that I'm going to take the day off, they have a fit. And it's like, I can't tell them. And the other day, I went to the hairdresser on Saturday morning at 6:30. So I get an email. What happened to the review? I go, like, can you wait till 8 o'clock in the morning, please? You know. I'm afraid to even tell. I don't even say anything. And then I get the books even when I don't ask for them. Like, are you going to join this blog tour? Because no one else is going to write a review, just you. I go, like, why? But I've been reviewing some interesting stuff. I just finished reviewing What Happened by Hillary Clinton.
Oh, no kidding. Wow. Well, you read everything. I mean, you're telling me, like, your mother told you how to take notes in a book and all that. It's great.
She made me take the notes. I still do it. You should see what happens to people's books. And I have like a dozen people who are not getting it. I have hands out for your books, definitely. And I have to tell you, my little niece, Katie Rose, is taking college classes in high school. But when I told her I was interviewing Carla Negus, she flipped out and told me I was finally famous. And that's a 15-year-old. I said, you know who that is? She said, yeah, she's a romance novelist. I know who that is. Well, she reads. Just tell her I said that you're famous, too. I go, thank you, Katie.
Oh, that's great. Well, hi to Katie.
Yeah, she's cool. She takes after me, straight A student. She knows. So tell us more about Oliver and about his childhood. That was the basis for this novel. Once I got started, I couldn't put it down.
Oh,
you know,
I appreciate
that. I get restrained automatically all of a sudden. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Thieves Mark is one of those books that I knew I would write the minute Oliver came into the series.
Okay.
Now, again,
yeah,
you can start with Thieves Mark. But it's first in Declan's Cross, he's alluded to, but we don't know who he is. And because he's this English guy, he's very wealthy, but his background is tragic. When he was 8 years old, his parents were killed in front of him at their London apartment, and he was dragged by the killers to Scotland and left in this isolated ruin, and he ran off and was rescued basically by a priest on a walk, and he was returned to his grandparents at their Cotswolds farm in the English countryside, and so that's where he grew up, and he became kind of isolated, and because he's the only child, and they haven't found, they have an idea who killed his parents because he was a witness, but they've never caught them. They just like disappeared off the face of the map. So his grandparents die, and he becomes this art thief, and it's sort of a way to, he's a I don't know, really stressed maybe, whatever. But anyway, he's an expert in martial arts, and he's an expert in mythology, particularly Celtic mythology. And that all ties into, and his background and what he saw in the Scottish ruin all ties into his thefts. And he's done over 10 years, I think he's hit like eight or 10 different cities. And so he came to the attention of Wendell Sharp. So Wendell had been chasing him for 10 years. And by now they know, and so Emma too, because Emma's his granddaughter and worked for him for a bit, and then she's in the FBI. So it's like, okay, they want to catch this guy for his U.S. Hits, his heists. And they can't. They can't. They know who he is, but they can't pin anything on him. And but he's now, he's returned all the artwork, and rumor has it that he's working with MI5. And so, because he has all this knowledge, because of the intersection with art theft and all sorts of other crimes, from money laundering to, you know, funding terrorists to smuggling, I mean, just all kinds of stuff. And so they want to use his expertise. So, but meanwhile, he's been kind of solitary figure, but he's now has his farm in the Cotswolds, and he's trying to have a little more social life. So he's got a puppy, and he has Martin Hambly is the guy who used to work for his parents and now is his personal assistant, and has a cottage on the farm in the Cotswolds, and they're really. Martin's much older, but they're good friends. But Martin has as his view, and so that's Oliver would like to know what happened that day when he was 8 years old. He wants answers, but he's just stymied. He just like he's trying to live with not knowing and wondering where these killers are. So that's his background, and that's where we are when Thief's Mark opens. Is with him. On his farm in the Cotswolds, he's back from London. He's got the puppy. Life is good. There's he's a new garden designer who he grew up with, Henrietta Balfour, and she has a connection to the same Cotswolds village, and they're discussing old flower pots. You know, just normal, fun life, and you sort of think, oh my gosh, maybe Oliver's finally having a real life, 30 years after he was kidnapped and witnessed his parents' death.
Yeah, but
doesn't
then
say that way, of course.
I know. Well, then there's a murder that he sees, and his housekeeper has a fit, and she screams. And what does she see, and what does Oliver try to do to save the person?
Yeah, so,
and then
so
he leaves again.
Yeah, so there he was discussing flower pots, and he goes back to the farmhouse on his own, and there's a guy comes out and is bleeding to death, and the question is, that we don't see all of that, what's going on, it's pieced together, but he has so the guy dies and Oliver disappears. So by the time Henrietta and Hambly get to the farmhouse, because the housekeeper runs screaming for help, comes out and sees the end of this, and that this guy is dying, and she doesn't know what's going on, and it's just terrible. So she goes running for help, and by the time everybody gets there, Oliver has disappeared. And as it happens, because remember we have the break-in in Dublin with Wendell Sharp and Emma and Colin on their way to England, so their luck being what it is, they walk into the middle of this.
Well, if they didn't walk into the middle of it, it wouldn't be any fun. Then it wouldn't be any problem.
There would be
exactly
any story,
the point.
Would there? Yeah.
I know.
Yeah.
And then how would they get involved? I know. They're great. They, no matter what happens, the poor thing's on their honeymoon. Wow, what could you do? Well, So we have Martin Hamley. And he promises to take care of. Yeah.
Yeah, Martin has promised the grandparents that he would look after Oliver. I mean, he's a grown man now, but that was his promise, and so he's careful about what he says about the things that he suspects and knows, and Oliver is protective of him too and doesn't want to expose him. And then there's Henrietta's role. What is she still with MI5? Is she did she quit, become a garden designer? What's going on there? Who does she know? And who is this guy that's dead now on Oliver's doorstep? And as we know pretty quickly that he is strongly suspected to be one of the two killers of his parents when he was 8 years old. So why has he surfaced? And who killed him? What's going on there? And that's where we take off with with Thief's Mark. And there's just, for me, in this book and in the entire series, it's this world of these characters where you have, you know, Emma and Colin and their unusual relationship with Oliver York, who's an art thief and works with MI5. And then you have Wendell's relationship, Wendell Sharp, the art octogenarian art detective, and his relationship with Oliver York. And then Oliver's whole world of what he knows from Celtic mythology to the world of art theft to just him as an 8-year-old boy losing his parents and the effect of that on him and on this little village of, you know, there were other little kids there. And Henrietta was one of them. So he was 8, she was 5. And her memory of this couple and what happened to them and the reactions of her family to the deaths and to the ongoing mystery of what happened to these killers, why haven't they caught them?
She was kind of suspicious at first. I wasn't sure about her. I really don't.
Yeah.
I didn't trust her at all. I don't know.
I mean, I didn't either, right? Because initially, sometimes I don't know exactly where a character's going. So I start the story, and it's like, okay, what are some things going on here? And I really like her. I guess, I don't know, every now and then. I love gardens. One of my favorite things to do when I travel is to go to botanic gardens or public gardens of any kind. And so when we were in England, and walking around in the Cotswolds and seeing all those incredible gardens. And so I just love creating a garden designer, but she happens to be former or current MI5 agent. Or actually, they're
so
officers.
Cool. It's funny because when my face is behind the stone series, I write it back from the point of view of the dead body behind the stone that did something wrong. I thought about it when I was in a cemetery visiting my sister. And I'm saying, like, if you could talk to me, to my sister, what would you say? Then I walked around, it was like in a bad mood. And I said, well, if you could talk to me, the person next, in the next grave, next plot, what would you tell me? What is your story? Why is your stone tipped over? What did you do wrong? And then I said, oh, that's a cool idea. It is. I'm writing. It's if anybody gets me angry, I kill them off. That's it.
That sounds awesome.
Yeah, some of them are based on real life incidents, but we won't say which ones. So we have Cassie and Eugene. And how did they fit in to what happened with Oliver? I like Oliver.
So, well, Eugene is a little bit older, and he always loved the Cotswolds, and now he has a farm there, and his wife Cassie is American. And then it's like something. It's like as the story, as Thief's Mark progresses, you find out more and more about Eugene and Cassie, and their place, which they're fixing up this farm that Henrietta's aunt left her a house that abuts the farm. So if you can visualize, this English countryside and these yellow, this Yellowstone, that these very pretty houses and so we have Oliver's farm, and then within walking distance is where Henrietta lives in her aunt's house that she's now making her own and becoming this garden designer. And her aunt was was just this incredible amateur gardener. And then across down, you know, you have the stone fence, and on the other side would be where Eugene and Cassie now have this place. And then the Balfours, Henrietta's grandfather, who was this MI5 legend, used to live there. So it's all these roots and connections in this village, and the people who come to, who are working on renovating a little cottage, a shed, converting it, and you have the housekeeper, her son, and these people in the village, and the impact of what happened 30 years ago on them is part of the kind of the backdrop of Thief's Mark, and it's in this incredibly beautiful setting. So, which was kind of really interesting for me to create the story around that. And then you throw in these two FBI agents, Emma Sharp and Colin Donovan, and it's like, well, how do they get involved? Because the investigation is handled by the English police, not them. And so their role in all of this and how it all ties in with them. It just, I don't know, it was like, it was really, really fun to write. But there's a lot that goes on in Thief's Mark. So
I really wish you would have taken pictures.
I have some pictures.
Well,
I got to put some up on my blog. I have a blog on my website.
Yeah.
And so I've got to get some more. So I think I need to go back. Don't you think I need to go back to the Cotswolds and take some more pictures? I think that's a good plan.
Yeah.
I love to travel.
I felt like I was there, and I'm saying, but I want to be there so I could see the pictures of places I'm never going to see, which is no fun. So we've got J.B. Driscoll, a.k.a. somebody else. So why is he thought to be one of the men that might have killed his parents and kidnapped him? That's going to plague him until he gets it solved. I know that.
Yeah, I mean, I think that Oliver, you could just see if you were there face-to-face with this guy that you recognize, you're just sure that's one of the people that killed your parents and kidnapped you. And he knows, you know, if he stays, he's not going to be able to do anything. And he just, and it's just, I mean, it's traumatic, and he's got to figure out what to do. So he wants to trust Emma and Colin, and particularly Emma. Colin, he says, we might never be friends. But Oliver is he's a very charming, wily guy. And he's trying to figure out what's going on here, and where is the other guy? Is that other guy part of the story? And so if you think about this story, we've got these different settings, these different places where that come together. So we have the Cotswolds with the farm. That's where Oliver York has his farm, and where Henrietta is currently living, and Eugene and Cassie and the different workers, all those people are there. And Wendell Sharp has been there to visit. Emma Sharp has been there to visit. Colin's been there to visit. So now they're coming there. Then we have Dublin, where this break-in took place. And then we have Maine, where there's Father Bracken and who he has seen and what he's up to. And Father Bracken is, Finian Bracken is an Irish priest who has become friends with Emma and Colin and their families. So, you know, they know that Oliver's first heist was in Ireland in this place. It's a fictional little village called Declan's Cross. And if you know Ireland, it's near Ardmore in the area where St. Declan created a monastery and is one of the very early Irish saints. And so that's where Oliver, you know, committed his first heist. And there's a place out on a headland that he likes to go, and that's where he could sink there, and that's what he needs to do. So he does manage to pull that off and try to figure out what his next steps are to get answers.
Well, I hope he never goes innocent. I hope he never stops stealing because it's too much fun. If he ever goes straight, that would be boring. No, seriously. Like, Oliver can't get caught. But
a little bit of a
part
larcenist.
I've always wondered. I've read, I don't know how many books, too many maybe, and every time there's a priest, I like Father Bracken, and he gets put in a bad position because somebody comes in and he tells him something, but he's not allowed to deal because it's in confession. So
yes, he can't reveal
anything unless something dangerous is going to happen, and even then
he's not
allowed to say anything.
Yeah, there's very strict rules basically about the seal of confession, and there are certain certain things like it, that you can do, but mostly you can't even talk about, a priest can't even talk about the confession at all. And so he is in that spot, but he has to decide, like, did this person come to, was he manipulated, and was it actually a confession, or was it a ploy? Mm-hmm. And he's trying to figure out, because there's another FBI agent, this guy Sam Padgett, who is working that main connection, because did our guy who died in front of Oliver in the Cotswolds, was he in Maine talking to the priest, and did he commit the break-in in Dublin, and what does this all have to do, how does this all connect to Em and Colin and Oliver York and Henrietta, and where do we go with that? Because Emma and Colin are part of a, what I call HIT. It's a small FBI team, specialized team, that's based in Boston. And Sam Padgett is a member of the team. He's our Texan. He comes up from Texas. He doesn't like cold weather.
I like him too, though. He's really good.
He's
now,
cool. He's a really cool guy. And he, thinks that Finney and Bracken should talk. So it's an interesting dynamic going on with them, and then Emma and Colin back in the Cotswolds. So.
Well, we've got Posey and her relationship to Oliver, and we've got Padgett and Jameson. And they persist in different ways to find out who killed this person, and they think they link it to Oliver's past. So who is Posey? And
Posey,
why is she attached to Oliver?
Yeah, Posey is Henrietta's aunt, who died recently in her, she was very elderly,
yeah,
and knew the grandparents, Oliver's grandparents, who ended up raising him. And she lived in this little village and by her, she never married, and so she's, and Henrietta has this strong bond with her, and as well as now she's living in her house and has the garden, and that's who Henrietta used to come and stay with her. She grew up, Henrietta's parents are somewhat remote, they're fine people, but she got sort of that one-on-one attention and just from Posey, and who is a presence in the story, and yet isn't actually in the story because she passed away before Thief's Mark gets started.
Well, we have when Oliver meets, this is really a cool scene. Oliver meets Wendell after sleeping outside in the rain. He's going to stay warm. So how does can he convince him to go to the police? He's going to get sick and get a cold, and that would really be sad.
Yeah, because Oliver and Wendell have this unusual relationship, and Wendell's in Dublin, and Oliver sneaks down to this Ardmore area down on the South Irish coast, and Wendell meets him, and he's just like, you've got to turn yourself in, you've got to go back, you've got to talk about this, and by now Oliver, he's with the program. He knows he needs to, but he had a night sleeping rough, they call it, out on this Irish headland by himself, and that's Oliver's way. It's his way of coping is solitude and being amongst these are Celtic ruins and the old Celtic crosses and that atmosphere. He knows he shouldn't be there, but that's where he needs to be. And Wendell, he's an art detective, but he's private, and he's supposed to be retired, right? And so he doesn't want to break the law, but at the same time, he's not a law enforcement officer the way Emma and Colin are. So there's a few little gray areas with Wendell.
Yeah, I know. Now we come to the person that's painting. Why didn't Patricia York want anybody to know that she's the one that painted the paintings? And what is the importance of the Dove Code and the rune? And you have so many different places in the book that we talked about, but why didn't she want anybody to know that she's the one that painted the paintings?
Well, you know, that's part of what Thief's Mark, I think you discover as you read Thief's Mark, is, you know, why, what happened that night with Oliver? Why were these people, these two guys there, and what were they really up to? So there's all these questions that get answered through the course of the story. But, you know, and Oliver was just 8 years old, so he's trying to piece together some bits, you know, fragments of memory. And sometimes things you think make sense. I mean, if you think back to when we were 8 years old, and
I don't remember anything, yeah.
Yeah, you know, and there's just the fragments, and he's trying to pull all that together and find out what's real, what's not real, and what are the missing pieces that will help him understand exactly what happened. And it does go back to art and painting and just the idea some things, you know, why you're keeping something secret, whether it's for a surprise, whether it's because you're, you know, you're just protective of what it is you're doing. I can tell you, as a writer, I started writing when I was quite young, and I would climb a tree. I grew up out in the country in western Massachusetts, and I would climb a tree with a pad and pen, and I'd sit up on this branch and write. And I absolutely never told anybody. I didn't tell. I have six brothers and sisters, and I just didn't tell them. This was my thing, and I did it. And then, you know, a few years later, one of my sisters discovered a story I had been working and started to read it, and then she and my other sisters were reading it, and they loved it, and they wanted me to finish it. And so that was like, oh, okay. So, I mean, I was writing I wanted people to read my stuff, but I was like, I wouldn't call it afraid. It was more like I wasn't done yet. I was protective. I just didn't want to say anything. And I think that a lot of people starting out with writing or painting or whatever they're doing, they don't necessarily want to show it to somebody right away.
I didn't want to show my first book to anybody at all. Until my sister got hold of it.
See, you cannot.
And she found out. Yeah, and she found out that she was in the stories because it was about my growing up in the South Bronx and our antics together. And she read it and she critiqued it like you wouldn't believe. And she said, "You would think that we came from two different houses." I said, "Yeah, because they liked you better than me." What can I say? The fact that
facts
I had to read
facts.
All those books and take notes and if I didn't get 100 on a test, I had to write it over, was what my mother did to me. She didn't do it to her. No. I didn't want to show it to anybody. But when we have Cassie and she goes into the barn, and what scares her? And who's this Bart character?
So, well, Bart is this guy who's one of the workers around.
I don't like him.
Around doing... right from the start, huh? And so there's, you know, they're working on Cassie and Eugene have this farm, and they're working on the farm, and so they have to hire different people to come in and do things. Mm-hmm. And sometimes there's a crossover with Oliver and the people that he hires, usually through Martin Hambley. And then there's the property, the farm, the Cassie and Eugene's farm abuts where Aunt Posey lived and now Henrietta lives. And so Bart is this guy, you know, they're just, you know, there's just so many, it's so much fun to do this, these characters and these stories and the whole bit. So I got the right character, don't I? Because I'm trying to remember all the names of everybody. I swear, sometimes you just like,
Yeah. I know, before I forget, because I don't want to forget, I never do three shows in 1 week, except for this one and a few more. So on the, not tomorrow, but on Wednesday, Lynn and Valerie Constantine will be here for the last Mrs. Parrish. That's really scary. And on the second, we have David McCallop with Reload. But next Thursday, this is going to be really fun. And I've got to figure out how to get you and some other romance writers on this. We're doing a panel show. and it's going to be headed by one and only D.P. Lyle, who's going to talk about how you present forensics in a novel the right way, since he's the expert.
Oh, he's awesome. He's such a good writer and such a good guy.
Yeah, he said that he would do this. We've got FBI agent Michael Tabman to talk about what happens when the FBI gets involved. We've got Detective Bruce Coffin that's going to talk about the police before the FBI. And we have my favorite lawyer in the universe, Larry Thompson, who's going to talk about how you present it to court. So I thought that would be a cool idea and something different. Also on December 12th, FBI agent Michael Tabman and I are going to talk about school violence, the need for metal detectors, the need for better safety in schools. We're going to talk about the Las Vegas murders. And we're going to talk about putting better safety precautions in hotels, public places, restaurants, and theaters. That was another idea I came up with. So hopefully that should work out, I hope. On the 14th, I've got Gerard DeMoraney, The New Detroit. On the 15th, this is a really great book. It's called The Mean. It's about what happened in high school, gangs, and how an assistant principal handles it. And if you want to know what to buy, Hanukkah, Kwanzaa, Christmas is coming. Thief's Mark is on top of my list to tell people to get it. I am reading now. It's not out yet, but you can pre-order. Daniel Palmer sent me First Family that he and his father wrote. It's really scary, but it's so good. And Killing Season, I read it. It's not out yet by Faye Kellerman. It's just three of what I've been up to. But now we have Davey, who went to see Finian, then to Dublin, then to England, and then went under the radar and broke into Wendell's home. Why? That was cool. I think
you
I got that right, yeah.
Yeah, you did. So, I mean, you just like all these details. I need to be like you and just sit there and take notes when I'm reading something because, you know, I just love that, the grasp of all these details. But Davey Driscoll is, you know, he's one of the pair that killed or is accused of killing. And so, you know, why? So that's one of the things. It's like when Finian Bracken realizes that's who came to him. And what did he want? And why did he want it? And what is he going? I mean, he's like how, I mean, this guy, how does he, why would he come to Maine? Is he looking for the Sharps? You know, and they're, because they're based in Maine. Emma's grandfather's based in Dublin, but her brother runs Sharp Fine Out Recovery in Maine. And so Davey came to see the brother. And then you have him coming in to talk to Finian, and he's, you know, he's trying to get information, and there's the other guy out there, the second killer who's been, you know, all these years, 30 years. They were just in their 20s when they committed this murder of, you know, or that's what Oliver saw them commit, kill his parents in London. And now it's 30 years later, and it's just like how have they eluded capture all this time? And did they have any contact with each other? So when you see Davey, the automatic question is going to be: is he in contact with the other guy? Is he trying to get something? Is he trying to blackmail somebody? Is he going to try to kill Oliver so that he can come out of the, you know, out of hiding and maybe nobody will recognize him, even though, you know, is he living under another name? All of these questions come up, and as you go through Thief's Mark, you know, it's kind of a Sudoku puzzle of a plot where you have these pieces here that fit together and bit by bit they come together so that the reader then can figure out exactly what happened and why it happened.
Well, on page 282, which I have in front of me, Padgett doesn't agree with what happened 30 years ago. What does he think really happened? He says it's something else that they have it wrong.
I'm trying to remember. I'd have to open up to page 282 because Padgett,
I have it
is,
in front.
You know, he's not
front.
An art detective. He's the money guy, and he's coming at this from a very different angle than either Emma or Colin. Yeah. And so he's trying to figure out, like, well, okay, maybe they've got it wrong, and he's going to ask all the sort of questions from, I wouldn't call it a more objective angle, but from a less involved angle. He's coming at everything fresh in a way that, like, the Sharps have been chasing Oliver York for 10 years. They've known, you know, they know they were after an international art thief. They didn't know who it was. And then over the past year, Oliver's been around. He's come to Maine. He's done things with Emma, and you know that's in some of the books in the series. It's Declan's Cross, Harbor Island, Keeper's Reach, and Liar's Key. And so Padgett brings kind of a, I would call it, fresh eyes onto the investigation, and he has his own ideas, and he's trying to get information out of Finian Bracken, our Irish priest, and that's the end of the things that he's working on. And he'll say things to Finian, too, to try to get him to talk and to understand, because he's convinced that this confession was never real and it never counted, so that it's in other words, that it's okay for Finian to reveal what was said.
That's a hard place to be. That's a really hard place to be.
Yeah.
And people are not going to be happy, but too bad. So we know that Henrietta is hiding something. I told you, she's very sneaky. But why is she so attached to Oliver? And what's the story with these two?
Well, she was five when his parents were killed, and he was eight. So she and their families were connected, and she loves the Cotswolds, and so she would see him around. And then she became an MI5 officer, and so that plays into her interest in Oliver, and she knows that he's the art thief, so she can help, and he can help MI5, but she also has her own after Aunt Posey's death, and she's questioning her own choices in life and trying to figure out her life, and she's just she's a really, I find her to be kind of a really interesting character, and she gets caught up in the middle of this, and so there's her professional attitude towards what's going on because of MI5, but there's also her personal, her own, the way this history impacted her, and that comes to the fore in Thief's Mark. So that, and she's just always, I mean, she's always liked Oliver. She has an affection for him, and she's lately now, you know, now that she's not in MI5 supposedly, and she's out there digging up old flower pots and planting roses and dahlias and whatnot, that she finds herself attracted to Oliver, and that's sort of freaking her out too. And yet they've always known each other, and I think sometimes there's just a different kind of bond when you've known somebody since you were five, you know, or you grew up together, or you went to nursery school together, or whatever it is. And in this case, it's a pretty dramatic change where he loses his sin, and yet so the effect of all of that on Henrietta and has also, you know, kind of ripple effects into her choices in life, into how she feels about Aunt Posey and how she feels about the gardens and the farms and all of that stuff, and then also how she feels about Oliver and how Oliver feels about her, and there's sort of a frankness and an honesty between them because they know each other so well.
Well, we're going to see what happens to them in the future. But the other character that I really like is Ruthie Burns. Well, my mother was Ruthie anyway. Ruthie Burns is a character, and she reminds me of my mother because she was OCD'd, and she would say it, and you got to do it. Seriously. So who is Nigel? And I don't like him either.
So Nigel is Ruthie's son, and so he was another one who was very young when the Yorks were killed. And Ruthie is sort of protective of him, and she's the housekeeper, Oliver's housekeeper, who comes in, and she has her way of doing things, and she's the one who discovered the body and runs for help. So that's Ruthie, and Ruthie and Hambly know each other, and he's sometimes impatient with her, but he also has great affection for her.
So now we have the final scenes that kept me like with heart palpitations here. So how did you create the final scenes? And it leaves me wondering, what's next for Oliver, Emma, and Colin? And as the ending might imply, there's another case waiting for them. What are you going to do to them next?
Well, I'm actually in the middle of writing the next book, which we're calling Imposter's Lure, and it'll be out again next, late August, late summer. So I'm assuming I can get it all finished. I'm like right in the midst of it, so I'm loving doing it. And Henrietta and Oliver sort of have a role in Imposter's Lure. But Thief's Mark, Henrietta's got to figure out what she's going to do with her life now. Is she going to, is she really going to be out of MI5? Is she going to really be a garden designer? And
yeah.
And her relationship with Oliver, is this something that's going to, going to go somewhere? And then Oliver he's been bit by bit becoming more social. So he's got, he's got a puppy, Alfred, and Hambly, he lives there. He's always been there. Ruthie is the housekeeper. But he doesn't really have that many close friends that he hangs out with. But he has, there's Wendell Sharp, who's in his 80s and is a friend. And there's Emma Sharp, who is more and more a friend. There's Colin Donovan. Remember, they're ending their honeymoon, right, going back to work. And Colin is not so much a friend, but, there's a rapport there, whether they want to admit it or not. And then there's Oliver's been working with MI5, so we have his handler, his MI5 handler, who also knows Henrietta. So so he does, I think that the purpose, the story of Thief's Mark is to kind of, we've met Oliver, and it's like a turning point in his life. And how do the answers that he gets through that story from this guy, David Driscoll, and showing up and dying, and who killed him and why, and all of that coming together, and how that's going to affect Oliver and Henrietta and the people around them. So that's how I see Thief's Mark, is like a turning point for Oliver, and in a way for many of the other characters in the novel.
Well, it sort of says it in the title, Thief's Mark. As I'm sitting here listening, I'm saying it's sort of like Oliver makes his mark as a thief, and that made sense to me. I'm saying the title exactly fits who the main character is. He sort of makes his mark, so does so many other people. So in the next book, are you going to bring back my other favorite character, Aoife and Bracken, and will her paintings come to limelight? Are they going to ever have an affair again? Because that was cool.
Well, they're...
I know, it sounds
yeah.
terrible. A priest didn't paint, but, I think it's time maybe he just, got married to her. What the heck?
Oh, yeah. There's a. I often hear from readers about Finian Bracken's future because, he too has this tragic past where his family, his wife and two young daughters, died in a sailing accident in Ireland. And he, he had a months of just falling apart, and this woman came into his life then, but he became a priest. And now it's 7, 8 years later, and he's in this little fishing village in Maine, and he feels like he's been called to be there. He needs to be there right now because of Colin and these and the, you know, the Sharps and the Donovans, and his role in their lives. But he has a life back in Ireland, and can he, you know, can he let go of the past? And I think that that's still an open question.
Are you going to bring back, are you going to do this one in Heron Cove, or are you going to bring it back over the other play, in the other, on the other setting? Because you have two settings.
Pastor's
you have Heron Cove and the Clans Crossing. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Heron's Cove, I mean, Imposter's Lure, where Emma and Colin are back at work in Boston, and so they're in, they're on their home turf again, but you know, Wendell Sharp is still in Dublin, and Henrietta and Oliver are still in England, and then we have Father Bracken is in Maine, and so that's the world, you know, the canvas I kind of paint my words on, and we'll see where what all happens. But it definitely, the story, Imposter's Lure, definitely starts in Boston with Emma and Colin and their boss Matt Yankowski, and his wife Lucy is a psychologist, and she has not, you know, she balked at moving to Boston from Northern Virginia. That's where she had her home and her work as a psychologist. But now she's in Boston, and she's decided to open up a knitting shop because she said, you know, the therapy and knitting go hand in hand. That's her view. And they play a strong role in Imposter's Lure. They play a lesser role in Thief's Mark. Yankowski's there, Matt, because he's the head of this team that Emma and Colin are, more Emma, but Colin's also a part of.
I like that character. So before we end, we have about a minute or whatever, where can everybody find out about more about you and your work? And I want to get the book before it comes out, so I have put it in my to-read pile in June.
Oh, I will make sure that happens. Go to my website, carlaneggers.com, and I'm also on Facebook and Twitter. I'm trying to get better about Instagram, but I am there. I talk about all kinds of things, including I just ran a half marathon on the Southwest Irish coast, so I'm very proud of that. And so I put some pictures up of my running experience.
Well, before I forget, because I've been doing this all week, I'm very excited. I got my first 5 stars on my new book that came out in July. And
awesome.
I'm on a blog tour with the best people to do blog tours. Seriously, Partners in Crime. They have a second side, which is Providence books, which is for romance writers and mystery writers, and me, of course. And because I do all the book reviews and the interviews, and I do everything. And they're really fantastic. And I was so excited because I've got some fantastic showcases, some fantastic reviews, and I was excited because 5-star reviews. The title of the book is called A Daughter's Promise. It's a promise I made never to put my mom in a nursing home because she had Alzheimer's. And it's her words and my words. You know, one chapter is me, one chapter is my mother. And it tells a story. And some people have read it and said it's fantastic and said your mother was kind of tough on you. I go, yeah, she was. But you know what? When I was a kid, I didn't realize it, which is really good because then it helps me read all of your books and getting what everybody says. So, yeah. I never really thought about it, and my sister did, and she said, you sounded like you were abused. I go, no, it's just that I'm smarter than you. What can I tell you? Yeah. But we used to kid around about that a lot. She didn't have to do all that stuff, but I still take notes on my books. And when I got my second master's in reading, the professor taught us how to look past what's on the page and look down deep and see what the author's talking about. So obviously that did help too, but definitely I still take notes. So anybody that gets Thief's Mark or any of my books knows that it's dead destroyed. There's notes underlined, whatever. And that helps me to write your review. Your review was posted with 27 stars this morning on Amazon. It's there. And it's also on my Facebook wall. I also went and I put the link to your book, to all your books, to Thief's Mark, so everybody could find it. Because, you know, what's the point of, you know, not of doing an interview if everybody doesn't know who you are and everybody doesn't get and I'm going to be giving out, I'm not going to give any hints, my Just Reviews in MJ Magazine, which everybody knows is my magazine, is going to decide on who gets the Just Reviews MJ Magazine for Books of the Year. And that's all I'm going to say. And I will contact the 10 people. And, of course, Steve Smock has to be one of them. So what can I say? I still gave it away. But, yeah, I actually have my publisher makes the most beautiful awards, and they're gorgeous, and they're really nice. And someday maybe I'll get one, too. I don't even
How
care.
Awesome.
But I have to say, yeah, my review site, Just Reviews, got a review from Inkit Publishers as being one of the top review sites on the Internet. So that made me feel good.
Oh, that's awesome.
And I wanted,
you know, we've been talking for a while, and it's just exciting to see these things happening for you. You've worked hard.
I love having you, and I hope you're coming to the Thriller Fest, because I definitely hope that John invites me again, because he's the best, John Landstrom to the bone. So thank you so very much.
John is awesome. I love the Strong series, Caitlin Strong.
You have to read the new one, Strong to the Moon. Oh, my God. That's John Landis' best. And for those of you that haven't pre-ordered A-List by D.P. Lyle, you want to do that. And for those of you that want to pre-order, it's coming out. I love this. I love getting the books before they come out. Next April, First Family by Michael Palmer and Daniel Palmer. If you really want to get scared about somebody that's getting sick, including the president's son, you want to read it. Oh, my God, it's fantastic. So thank you very, very much. I appreciate it. And I can't wait to do this again. And if I do a panel show on romance writers, I'm going to let you know.
All right. Awesome. It's always so great talking with you.
It's nice talking to you, too. Thank you, everybody. This is it's still raining. Oh, gosh. Have a nice day, everybody. Bye.
All righty. Bye-bye.